Yeah, it is Wednesday. Damn it. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Evan and Aaron Show presents the Red Soccer Chat. We're not going to talk about the blue because we're too blue to talk about the blues tonight. I know you're gonna force me to talk about the blues.
It's kind of part of the show.
It is part of the show. It is part of the show. But anyway, ladies and gentlemen, what a beautiful, beautiful mid-spring day in good old Indiana. We love it. It's wonderful. Warmer weather's coming. Sunshine is out. It's a beautiful day. Absolutely beautiful day. A beautiful day for a win.
It was a nice day for a win.
But how fitting was the weather yesterday?
Indeed, my friend.
Let's not dive right in first. I just want to know. Dude, how are you doing, man? How have you been?
Oh, I'm finally recovered from the absolute shenanigans.
Should we talk a little bit about this?
Your boys went to Las Vegas. We had some fun. We are too old to experience Las Vegas, I think, in the way we would have years ago. And I can verify this by having been the first two nights. I did set a very aggressive tone on Friday morning. I do deserve a yellow card for that. Don't go so hard in the paint, my friend. Yeah, like my...
Right there.
I deserve that. I learned my lesson.
I'd never been to Vegas,
and I did not know what to expect. Yep. And to paraphrase a friend of ours, Vegas 1, Aaron 0.
I tell you, man, it was great, though.
It was a great time.
It was a wonderful time.
It was
time
to celebrate you.
Yes.
You
yes,
and absolutely. The SO that you are about to marry.
Soon to be Mrs. Blue.
Right. And yes. then we all get to go on a couple's vacation to
Deutschland. It's going to be so wonderful. The fun part about this is that I literally will have two of the people, actually four people that I absolutely love, two that I'm beginning to really start to love because just their personality and who they are. Mm. But we're going to be surrounded by people that care.
Yeah.
And I think that's the biggest part, man.
Care and love to do this type of thing. Love to travel as a group for an event like this and really know how to experience it. And we haven't hyped this up much, but we're definitely going to have to do some remote spots from over there, assuming we have good internet connectivity and all that jazz, because I remember trying that from Navarre Beach, Florida, and I couldn't do that on my phone. So,
Voice de Internet. Yes.
So hopefully we can get that going. I'm not even sure if I take my, magic Wi-Fi thing over there that would work. I don't know. I actually think we're better off with the phone. So we'll see. Yeah. At a minimum, I'm sure we'll throw a few things your way, maybe record them and then post them as we're able. So really excited for this. We are going to a few different games, and we're going to keep teasing this over the next few weeks. But we do get to see our English brethren play.
And we get to see it at Dortmund.
No, that one's at Frankfurt.
Okay, yeah. But we do get to go to Dortmund.
Yeah. We have two in Dortmund and one in Frankfurt.
You guys
follow.
I'm part of the. I love the Bundesliga, and Dortmund is my team. So that's going to be nice.
I think we all have a soft spot for Dortmund. I fell in love with them a long time ago. They were when I was kind of watching the Champions League early on and picking which team, that interested me the most to try to really throw myself into and follow. And obviously I chose United and that great class in 92 and Eric Cantona and all that.
Right.
But Borussia Dortmund, I believe, won the Champions League that year. And
92?
96. I'll have to double check. 96, 97, somewhere in there. But it's when I really began following, and because that's all you could watch was on ESPN and the Champions League. So you're cherry picking. I appreciate that. But always had a soft spot for Borussia Dortmund. They've had some great players come through, and they've always, unfortunately, had to lose out to Bayern Munich, kind of poaching their best players.
Yep.
But that happens in a league like that sometimes. And in fact, you know, Man U's poached plenty of players from lower level Premier League teams as well. Sure. So it happens. But again, soft spot for Borussia Dortmund.
I don't
and
think
really
I knew
excited
that about you.
Yeah, really excited
That's
to go
cool.
see Dortmund. We won't have the yellow wall in full effect, but I'm hoping will be some local fans.
I will have my jersey. I will have my jersey.
Excellent. So there you go. My present?
Yes, your present. Yes,
yes.
We
like
I
each
can
other.
Finally fit
we
into like now. Thank you very much.
Isn't that great? I gave you a goal.
Hooked on Phonics work for me.
I've scored so many goals on you, I had to give you a goal.
And with that, I think it's...
No.
I think it's time.
Okay.
It's time. God.
Yeah, we don't only love you that much right
stop.
Now.
Let's just stop.
Okay, Evan, let's discuss something.
Yep.
In your last three games...
Yep.
You put six past Everton. Absolutely throttled them.
Yep.
Looked to be a bit of a building block, turning point maybe.
Yes.
Right? Something to build on in the season.
Absolutely.
Played the FA Cup semifinal at Wembley against City.
Sure.
Spurned some early opportunities, but played well, but ultimately just really got worn down by what City does to you.
It's what they do.
Death by 1,000 passes. Not quite tiki-taka like Barcelona,
but you
see how it's evolved under Pep. And that's a very, very good team. And they eventually just scrambled one across the line. Let's not act like they tore you apart.
No. Side note, I actually had a City fan come up to me and say, hey, look, Chelsea played like Real did.
Yeah.
And I'm like, well, that's a pretty good compliment.
Yeah. I think so. But then yesterday.
Wait a minute. Oh, wait. Oh, skirt.
Fair enough. I guess my question is... Well, let me recap real quick.
Okay. God, here we go.
Gave up an early goal.
Yes.
And really seemed like at that point
it was
it could go bad.
It was scary.
But managed to actually get a foothold in the game.
Yeah.
A few half chances. I won't say anybody had like a super clear cut opportunity.
Nope.
You know, if we had more confidence in Nico Jackson, you'd probably put a little bit more into their opportunities. Mudryk had a bit of a tame one, but you did manage to pull yourself back into it.
Yes.
And had it been 1-1 at halftime, it wouldn't have been a shock to anybody. You had created enough.
We played well.
You'd created enough.
Yes.
But how much of what happened? The final score being 5-0.
Yeah.
So to be fair, in your last three games, you're 6-6.
That is true.
How
you said that with such a big smile on your damn face.
How
too,
much of this was
see, he's chuckling.
How much of this was Arsenal being a much more dominant and confident team than they've been in recent years? And how much of this was a Chelsea team in disarray being taken advantage of?
Yeah, no. Wow, that's such a great question. Okay, let me start just somewhere. Let me just jump into the deep end of the pool. I want to give all the props in the world to Arsenal.
Yeah.
You know, you did to Chelsea what a championship team should do to a team who looks like they are, you know, a chicken with its head cut off running around. The first half was incredibly exciting.
Mm-hmm.
First half, you know, there were opportunities.
Yeah.
There were really, really great. And here's the difference. Chelsea played well in the midfield in the first half.
Yeah.
Enzo was doing some really good things. Gallagher had a few slip-ups, but he was pretty solid. Mm-hmm. And actually, Caicedo made some decent passes in the midfield, was able to control some of the things happening there. There is a common denominator here, and I don't know if this common denominator has something on Mauricio Pochettino, maybe a video of him, you know, doinking a donkey or something like that. Yeah, I don't know. Well, good friend of the pod.
Doing the Macarena.
Hello. I don't know if that's going on, but how in the world do you week after week keep Nicholas Jackson on the field knowing that, okay, he might score one because it's a trash goal, but how many times did Madueke, did Mudryk, did, you know, just so many people serve him up and he was able to do nothing with the ball?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know his exact age. I know that this is still a young team.
You said something wonderful. I'm going to let you say it about him.
Well, my statement was, where he's at right now. He's either going to come good at the beginning of next season, and we'll be talking about him as one of the better up-and-coming strikers in the Premier League and potentially the world. I mean, if you're playing at a club like Chelsea and Chelsea's having success and you're scoring goals, you're one of the better strikers in the world.
Yeah.
It just, you know, logic.
Yes. Yes.
The converse is that if he doesn't find that form,
yeah,
you know, he definitely won't be at Chelsea for very long because he really doesn't offer much else. He's not strong on the ball. He's easily moved off the ball. He doesn't connect play all that well. No. And again, he's still young. I don't know his age, so you know, it is definitely harsh criticism of him like this. But this is the game that they're playing, and you know, we could potentially not really hear from him again. Now, I don't know. I think he's Brazilian. Is he Brazilian?
No, I think he's from...
I'm not sure. I'll let our intern pull up some info here.
I'm going to do that real quick.
He is a professor. He's really good at research. but I think almost at this point, the best situation you could see is that he goes to a Fiorentina or a Getafe or something like that and reestablishes himself and says, okay, I'm a decent striker.
Yeah, Senegalese.
Is he the Jesse Lingard type player?
Sorry.
But, you know, a player that, like, in fits and starts, look, you don't accidentally get to this level unless you're Bebe. But beyond that, most of these guys are here on at least a bit of merit, that they have demonstrated at the previous levels the quality, and somebody said, I think they're ready for the Premier League. Nico Jackson may not be. Antony clearly is not. We have plenty of players at Manchester United that just haven't been able to make that next step.
Yeah.
And that's not the worst criticism. The worst criticism is what will they do after this?
Yeah, no.
And I think he could get really cut loose into the wilderness because of what's gone on with Chelsea.
Yeah. Here's the thing. I just don't understand. I hang this 5-0 loss on one person, Mauricio Pochettino.
Okay.
I do. Because I understand if you have an idea that, okay, Nico Jackson is going to be the future. If you are putting all your eggs in that basket, that's fine. You're the manager. You can do that. However, when it gets to the point where I know you look at Man United and you know, fan responses and things like that. I spent all day or all night yesterday looking at what Chelsea fans had to say about this performance, and the one word that came out, two words, fucking embarrassing. It was embarrassing. It was absolutely embarrassing. And the fact that Pochettino did not make subs before he did not bring in fresh legs, did not bring in, a Raheem Sterling and allow him to play the entire second half. Let's at least let him play the second half so he can get himself involved into the match and get Jackson out of there, because anybody who is a casual fan can see that when Jackson gets the ball, he does one of two things. He either closes his eyes and delivers a godlike cross in the box, or he dribbles into double or triple coverage and loses the ball every single fucking time. I don't understand why Pochettino can't see that. I don't know. I think he sees it. I don't know why he doesn't react to it as a manager should react. If you have a guy who's not playing well, if you've got a guy that needs to be sitting on the bench, you sit him on the bench. You bring in somebody who can actually make the play happen.
Yeah.
Or at least has a chance.
I give Pac a little bit of slack from the standpoint that Chelsea just don't have a lot of players, really, at the highest level. But it does beg the question, You have a veteran player sitting on that bench in Raheem Sterling, who you may not like, you may have had issues with. I don't know what's going on. Yeah. I've not heard anything.
Right.
And he's never quite turned into the player that a lot of people maybe thought he was going to be. But what he is a veteran player who understands what's required in a big match against a team like Manchester City in an FA Cup semifinal. And certainly in a London derby with Arsenal. So it was very, very frustrating to watch the way he's been used recently.
Yeah.
Again, don't know what's going on. He seems to just not be part of the plans. And again, I understand that, but this is a cup final.
Yes.
You throw on the kitchen sink and the janitor if you think you need a goal, and you absolutely needed a goal.
And why in the world would you not put on the one player who has played the most with your top goal scorer?
Right.
Why in the world would you not allow that type of, you know, that type of synergy to happen? And when this thing got to 2-0, okay, so this thing got to 2-0 really quick in the second half.
Well, and
really
and
quick.
What really hurt was they scored like 2 goals in like 5 minutes.
Yeah, 2 goals in 5. So at the 52nd minute, Ben White, who, came in and scored. At that point, you're down 2-0 at the Emirates.
Right.
You throw, like you said, you throw in the kitchen sink. You say, okay, we got to stop the bleeding.
Yeah.
We're only down 2 goals. We can do this, guys. Where is that? That's what I'm asking. Where is that, Pochettino? Where is it? Because it's obviously not coming from you. There are guys who are playing their guts out, but then I'm wondering if there are guys like a Sterling who's sitting on the bench who's like, you know what? I don't have faith in this manager. I don't think this manager sees what's going on. And
then don't dress him. Then don't dress him. Well, then say exactly. You aren't part of my plans, and I'm not even going to dress
you. Yes, and I will say this. You and I both know that when practice comes around, that is your time to prove yourself for the next match.
Mm-hmm.
You get out there, you perform. Coach is like, yeah, he's still in good form. He's good. I'm going to play him. Maybe that's it. I find that hard.
I do too.
To believe.
I do too. People don't really, you know, a lot of people
are
very harshly critical of these players and their, how much they care and you know their body language on the field.
Right.
But these are professional football players.
Yes.
It's in their DNA to just come out and bring it. Yes, a handful of dudes you'll hear about. Eden Hazard just didn't like to train, and then he could absolutely flip a switch in a match.
Practice.
Okay.
Practice.
Every once in a while you get a guy like that. Yeah. But by and large, these guys are workers. So when they tell you a guy like Cristiano Ronaldo put in that much more work, you know why he's the immer effort that he is. Because every one of these guys is showing up. Every one of these guys is putting in the work. Look at the physiques, everything. So Raz wants to win.
Oh, absolutely.
And I just don't – there's a disconnect somewhere.
I think that two things. Number one, this team should have never, ever – And this is the thing. Never gotten routed like this. There's no way. There's no way you go from that first half to the second half like that with a halfway decent manager.
It always felt very precariously balanced that, you felt early on it could be bad.
Oh, yeah, it could be bad.
You even predicted a bad scoreline.
Yes.
But once they leveled it off, you thought, okay, they understand the job at hand here.
But,
and clearly they let it slip away. And by the end of the game, they were treating it like a training session just so Arsenal couldn't touch the ball. Arsenal were ruthless. Like, I want to be very clear.
Yes,
this
they were.
An incredibly
good
team.
And this is what
you
should be, right? It's what you should be.
I have never liked Mikel Arteta.
Nope.
And I still don't like him very much as a manager, but I have to give credit where it's due, and he has put together an incredibly fine team here.
That killer instinct.
They're excellent in nearly every position on the field. You would really have to begin nitpicking to point out deficiencies or places where that they truly needed improvement. This team is built for it. Do they have the mentality? Do they have the bottle for this? Question mark is still out because they haven't done it for 20 years
but
now.
But damn, man, they looked really good. Let me say one last thing. Is that Pochettino during the press conference said this. He says, you know, when we're bad, we are really bad.
Yeah.
And we are. We are really bad. But, Blues fans, here's the deal. We are rarely really bad back-to-back.
Hopefully.
And here's the thing, too, is that Villa is able to get it done.
Yeah.
With, I mean, Ollie Watkins, obviously, you know, top scorer in the EPLs and things like that. But, yeah, anyway.
It's halftime real quick, folks. So, as ever, shout out to Chatham Tap and the lovely bartenders that we have. Tip
yes,
your server.
Thank you, JoJo.
My shout out for this weekend is this lady yes. and many of her friends yes. helped put together an amazing cancer walk once again for the Wendy L. Hudson Cancer Foundation Association. Mm-hmm. All of
raised
it went
raised over
$11,000 wow. for our friend Kaylee, who has recently been recovering from stomach cancer.
It's called Jelly Belly, so it's
an unfortunate name. Okay,
cancer. Yeah,
She's been doing well, so this money will be well spent to help her recover
absolutely.
Financially as well. And it's just a wonderful thing that JoJo, Jennifer Hazlett.
Yes.
So many other people, Dave
yep.
Runyon,
yep.
can't say enough about everybody, and Doug Hazlitt should probably
yes.
get mentioned
yeah,
as well, because he endured the cold while holding a microphone
yes.
late in the day on Saturday.
Yes,
so
yes, yes.
Big shout out. Always a wonderful event, and we really appreciate you
absolutely.
All at Chatham Tap Fishers.
To Kaylee, cancer
Kaylee.
Sucks.
Yeah, cancer sucks. Anytime, you can go to WendyLHudson.org, I believe.
Yes.
Certainly, if you Google it, you'll find it. You can always donate, and you can always find out when any upcoming events are. This is usually
yep.
an annual event, and it'd be great if we never had to do it again, but for as long as cancer exists, we're going to keep kicking
we're
its
here.
Ass.
We're here. We're here. All right, I'm done talking about depression. Oh, another friend of the pod. Okay.
Wow.
Okay.
Drop it like a tot.
Hey. Oh, she's coming into the picture. Hey,
in.
We just want to welcome Shelby to the podcast. Hey, Shelby, how you doing?
She was a big part of the event this weekend as
and
well.
And I'm also a huge Man U fan.
Oh, right on. See?
And with
sorry
that,
about
ladies
Chelsea.
And gentlemen.
Sorry about
she looks back like the side eye like, sorry about Chelsea. Yes, 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 yes.
Now, what, I got to say this
yes,
right
yes.
Right off the bat.
Okay. Because I've got
this
questions
this
you.
Entire discussion is about this man. This man,
you
once
knew.
Again,
you
reached
knew.
Down deep
you
and
knew.
Said, I am not going to let
yes.
my team down today.
Yep.
And he really came through in the biggest of ways. You know, it's another, you know, not quite as bad as what went on with Coventry, because that's a whole other type of collapse. But it really sums up the season that in the last few games, Manchester United have beaten Liverpool in a double overtime match, have then turned around and drawn with Liverpool in a match that was almost equally as exciting, then turned around and drew with Bournemouth, effectively ending any chance that any outside chance United might have had to try to get that wannabe fifth spot, which is now even no longer going to be there because City and Liverpool have both been left out of
yeah.
or knocked out of their respective
yeah,
competitions.
Yeah, yeah.
And then to be up 3-0 on Coventry in a semifinal and need penalties to get through, and then today to be down twice to the worst team in the league at home. And require these level of heroics. Is it great that we do it? Yes, it's evocative of those 90s teams where you just said, oh, you score three, we're going to score five, that
right,
kind of thing.
Right.
But I don't think anybody looks at us and goes, we're definitely scoring five, and if we cough up three, that might be a problem. So the last few weeks, really indicative of this whole season to me. It's really hard to pick anybody out because our patterns of play are just trash. And we're relying on such individual moments to get us through matches.
In the words of the great Lee Corso, not so fast, my friend. Here's the deal. I would rather be lucky than good on any given day. Because here's why. Teams who find a way to win, win more often. I'm sorry, they just do. And Man U has figured out how to win. They figured out how everything is going to connect. And once again, like you said, I'm going to give him another shout out. That guy right there, he has taken this team on his shoulders. And he's like,
yep.
No, I am not going to let us lose. Here's the deal. Since that Chelsea match.
Yeah. Which I conveniently
guys,
left out.
No. Well, I had to throw something in there.
Well, so. And here's the thing. My interjection is, in that Chelsea match, Manchester United played some of the best soccer they played all season long.
Here's the thing. Both teams did.
Yeah.
It was an incredible match. But since that Chelsea match, you guys have gained points on every match you've played. Every match you've played, you've earned points. Here's the deal. What is the biggest thing that you can do in this league to make sure that you maintain your position? Is to score points every single goddamn game. And you guys have done that. And now you've topped it off with 3 points today. So
it's fair.
Yes. It may not look pretty, but coming from a I'm talking American football, coming from a Cleveland Browns fan, I remember the Browns teams in the 80s. It's not pretty. They're called the Cardiac Kids for a reason. They wait until the end to actually win the damn game.
I loved Vinny Testaverde.
I'm talking Brian Sipe, Bernie Kosar. Yes, Testaverde's cool. But you guys are finding ways to win. And I think that was my big question. Would you rather be lucky or would you rather be good?
Oh, right now I want the results coming through. I really don't care. But at some point in time, you have to ask, what's the rot? What's going on here? And I believe that Eric Ten Hag deserves some blame. I think there's a lot of blame to go around here because I don't understand how you would blame Eric Ten Hag for the absolute collapse against Coventry. Those players should have known better. And you've got Harry Maguire on the field. You've got Bruno on the field. You've got guys. You've got Casemiro on the field. You've guys who've been in the biggest matches you can play in on the planet and went to jello.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Okay, no, all right. Coventry keeps going, gets one back. You think, huzzah, good for Coventry City. They never said
that.
Then they get a wicked deflection on a goal, and you think, okay, that's a little nervy, but whatever. Let's see this out. But United played the last 10 minutes of that game on the back foot, and no one was surprised when they gave up a penalty.
They played a little scared.
They played very scared,
yeah.
And there is absolutely no reason for a team like Manchester United to be playing scared at Wembley in a semifinal against Coventry.
Sure,
a full, 28 places below them in the next league.
Sure, sure. I get that. But once again, I come back as a Chelsea fan and say, you found a way. And I'm like, I just don't. I think that Chelsea, what we don't have is we don't have that killer instinct to where it spurns us. We don't have that person like Bruno. We don't have that person like Bruno because I was hoping Enzo would take this. He is not.
Yeah.
But we don't have that person.
There can only be one Fernandez.
Exactly. Exactly. And it's like Bruno said, we're not losing.
Yeah.
We're not going to lose.
Yeah. He took it by the scruff of the neck. I've been impressed with a handful of players that previously – I mean, Bruno takes a lot of criticism because he embodies a lot of the Ronaldo, body language and that sort of thing. Yes. He seems whiny at times. You're not sure he's a true captain. But a true captain puts his team on his shoulders and scores a banger of a second goal, steps up when a penalty is awarded, and then hands out an assist late in the game when he could have just as easily taken a shot.
Oh, yeah.
So
absolutely.
2 goals and an assist and a 4-2 win over a bottom side. I mean, I'm with you. You find a way to win. My concern as a Manchester United fan is, and let me preface it by saying, you know, I'm not blaming this season on injuries, but I'm going to say very few teams have had the level, number, type of injuries that we've had across this season at a rebuilding point.
I would say,
a Manchester City can afford to miss a handful of guys. They can miss Kevin De Bruyne because they've got Bernardo Silva to rely on. But you and I don't have these teams.
We don't have these teams.
I would say
both teams, because here's the deal. We're missing not only Ben Chilwell.
Yeah.
We're missing Reece James.
Yeah.
And we're missing
absolutely
Christopher Nkunku.
Absolutely.
Because he can come into a match and change things around.
Well he offers something that no one else on your team offers, not even a Cole Palmer. And I think if those two can develop a relationship and you can solidify your back line.
Put those two in there?
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh. I think it would be magic. But the thing is this, and it comes back to this big question. And I get it. People are calling for Ten Hag's head. They're calling, blah, 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 blah. Okay. But you can't always win the Premier League. You can't. But if you can put your team in a position.
It's fair.
If you can put them in a position to where you can at least not only get into the Europa, but you can get into the Champions League.
Yes.
Then I think that you deserve a nod and, like, you know what? You weathered this season. Because you guys, you've played more games. Quite frankly, than Chelsea has, because you have been able to play in more, you know, more tournaments. So, I mean, I think that Tin Hog, and this is, may I go back for just a second?
Sure.
This is what's going to save Pochettino. I do not think he's going to go. I think what's going to save him is that we have seen marked improvement until this last match.
Mm-hmm.
We lost our shit. Okay, let's see what he does next.
Yeah.
But I think that he built up enough emotional capital that even though people are like, ah, he's got to go, I'm like, pump brakes a little bit, pump brakes. We're still top half of the table where we weren't top half of the table last year. So let's give him a chance.
That's fair.
I think with Erik ten Hag, I think that you guys are poised, but I think there's an issue too, is that there was a part mid-season where you were feeding the ball to, in my opinion, your best striker on the team. And he was delivering for you.
Hoyland?
Yes.
Yeah.
He was delivering for you. And I think that if... I don't know why he got away from that. But I think that works.
He got his goal today, and he deserved it. He had a couple of opportunities. It's just been few and far between lately. What I'll say is that, you know, people keep asking me, is Ten Hag gone? I don't know. I don't know what Ineos is going to be like as an ownership group. But I can firmly say this. I think he deserves one more season. Yep. I think most managers deserve three seasons, period.
I agree.
But I think he deserves one more because you look at this season, and he's almost never had his first choice 11, never mind his first choice 18. Right,
healthy.
These are all the guys that I want to put out on the field. And yes, everybody can say to a certain extent, but we've never had our starting left side for more than a handful of games. Luke Shaw
and the end of February,
and Martinez
came back,
and he's gone again.
Oh yeah.
So we haven't had Luke Shaw and Martinez on the left side, which, quite frankly, are two of the better left-sided defensive players.
Then
Shaw going forward, and Martinez playing out of the back. So we've not had that. We've not had we didn't bring in a mobile, quick center back, which is definitely going to be needed for what Ten Hag wants to do.
Sure.
So we've been playing this season with a Harry Maguire, a rejuvenated Harry Maguire. I think he deserves huge amount of respect for what he has done this season.
Harry Maguire, there you go.
And then you throw in Johnny Evans. You throw in, Victor Lindelof has played his heart
out.
And he's been asked to play on the left side at times.
Yeah.
The man is a center back.
Yeah.
We've just not had the first choice. And look, it's always next man up. And our next man has not been quite good enough at times.
Same.
We have struggled with that, and that is a question mark to be answered. But I think Ten Hag deserves at least one season under this new ownership group and guidance.
They're all healthy.
That says, we're going to back you with these kinds of players. Here's what we've agreed on as the plan moving forward.
Yep.
And this is what we're going to drive toward to. And if next season looks just as bad as this without the caveat of injuries and stuff like that, then you throw your hands up and say, this isn't working. It is time to bring in one of these other guys. But I don't see anybody out there as a manager that I think would have come in and instantly make any difference here.
With that said, ladies and gentlemen, we move to the...
Tangentially USA. Because there's not... You know, we can talk about, let's see. I believe Tim Weah came on and set up a goal yesterday for Juve against Napoli.
There was a nice write-up about him in ESPN today.
I know our really big four of Musa, Pulisic, Weah, and Musa, Weah, Pulisic. McKinney, Jesus, Weston McKinney.
Oh my God!
Have all been playing very, very well, we've got great players playing across. Right on,
yes,
yeah, right. Across Europe right now, but I want to focus on something else in America.
Okay, yeah, let's do that.
And that was in our absence. We had the finals of the NCAA tournament.
Oh yes, yes.
And the women's tournament.
Oh.
The women's final outdrew the men's final for the first time ever. And it was absolutely down to Caitlin Clark and her Iowa team.
Yes.
and a 38-0 unbeaten, amazing. By the way, they lost how many players from last season? South Carolina, Dawn Staley just
most of their
leading the way with it.
Yeah.
And I think, like we've been talking about with the women's soccer game over the last couple of years,
yep.
it truly is a case of if you build it, they will come. If
yes.
you put the product out there, people are going to pay attention to it.
Yes.
We set the table with the U.S. women's national team and their dominance and their marketability
yep.
and their progressive ideology and just being people that you wanted to follow. And then that help build that broader game, and now we're paying attention to
yeah.
the Women's Premier League in England. We're paying attention to the Champions League, where Barcelona's feminine team have outdrawn Barcelona men's team multiple
the
times.
Femme fatales.
Arsenal's women's
yes.
team
yes.
have outdrawn the men's team multiple times, set records. So we are seeing greatness in action right now. Caitlin Clark just signed like an 8-year, $28 million
yeah.
Nike shoe deal. This is unprecedented. And here's the deal, folks. We can have a conversation about whether or not, you know, pay equality and all that stuff. But if you want to see these women get paid more, you buy that package on TV.
Yep.
You go buy your mini package of,
yep.
of season tickets. You buy your Caitlin Clark jersey, your Aaliyah Boston jersey.
Yes.
All these great players.
Yes.
And all I can say is I'm glad to be a part of this, to see it happen. I had friends in high school who were tremendous
yeah.
women's athletes.
You had three nieces.
People did not pay attention in the same way.
Three nieces.
Well,
were athletes,
and I know they're amazing. And
yeah.
I'm glad that this generation and the next generation after that has this to look up to. Has Caitlin Clark? Has Aaliyah
yeah.
Boston?
Yeah.
Has the Bayou Barbie,
oh,
Angel
yes,
Reese,
absolutely.
And
Angel
all
Reese.
These other players look up to. Paige Beckers, who looked like
oh,
a proud mama
God.
At the WNBA draft.
Oh.
The future is bright for women's sports, and you know what? We all need to get behind it.
Guys, here's the deal. A good old boys out there who happen to, you know, flash past this podcast
right.
or whatever, if you hear this, let me entertain you for the next 30 seconds. Good old boys. Here's what's coming. People, we love to say people are opposed or we hate change. We don't hate change. People don't hate change. They hate fear. They hate fear of the unknown.
Yeah.
And then they're like, oh my gosh, women's sports, it can't replace men's sports. Guess
Never.
What?
That's not what's happening.
Guess what? It can. Not only can it, but it did. It did. This final was the highest watched final. Reglar.
Damn it. If any of you know me, you know how upset I am to read that I had a typo in our damn
that's
thing.
What
damn it.
That's what Jägermeister does. Anyway, good old boys, look, just it's okay.
I'm not
it's
sure calling right. them good old boys is going to endear
no,
them
no,
to
no.
our message.
Hey, look,
he is a good old boy.
I'm a good old boy.
He's from just outside of West Virginia.
Exactly. Yeah, guys, listen. It's okay. It's going to be fine. Sports is sports is sports. You just have to learn the strategy of it. There's different strategies in different games, right? I mean, and the beauty of sports is that it brings people together. Allow women's sports to bring us together, guys. That's what I'm saying. Allow it to bring us together as a country. Watch these women do their thing. Because, my God, I mean, when you're shooting from... Literally,
the logo.
Yeah, the logo.
Girl is shooting from the logo.
Come
She's Steph Curry-ish.
Come on, when you're able to like break people's ankles with a crossover, like Angel Reese does, it's amazing.
I have tickets to see Caitlin Clark play.
Well, there you go.
Yep,
there you go. So that's the 30 seconds, guys. That's what I have to say. And that is the news from the USA. I
yep.
think.
Yep. Yep. That was
it.
Our
that's
US.
Okay. That's
yep.
the USA.
There you go.
So that brings us to our newest portion of the podcast, and it is the yellow-yellow-red card section, where Aaron gives out two yellow cards and then finally one red. Oh, that
wow.
might be a yellow card.
We've gotten the double
that
bird
might
twice
be a
now.
Yellow card. I'm just saying. All right.
All right. Peace out.
Manu, there you go. Yes.
Got fans all over the world, Evan. Right here in Fishers.
Right there. That's what I mean.
Love you, Shelby, but damn it.
All right, so Aaron takes his time, and he... Oh, I lost the pencil. If you wanted to write someone down for a yellow card. Aaron takes his time, and he gives out two yellow cards, and finally at the end, one red card. And this can be anything, guys. It doesn't necessarily have to be from the beautiful sport. It can be from any arena that Aaron chooses. So, first yellow card, my friend. What do you got?
Big yellow card to what should be a whole bunch of women building up the future generation. I was really turned off by Diana Taurasi and specifically her UConn pals.
Yeah.
And I get it. Okay.
Got you.
Caitlin knocked out your UConn team, and you're a little bitter.
You're salty.
But
you're salty.
To be really openly questioning whether or not Caitlin Clark has what it takes or is the future of basketball, really, honestly, in my opinion, misses the point. If you see an aspect of her game and you're like, oh, I don't know if she's going to be able to play defense against some badass in the WNBA, that's a legitimate criticism. But you're basically engulfing her in one bubble, and you're just bitter. And it's unfortunate because, and I want to be clear, I realize I'm a man criticizing very successful women in the sport, and they are entitled to their opinion.
Sure.
But it really just comes across as a little too salty, in my opinion. I'm not saying, you know, look,
yes.
if you interviewed, you know, Patrick Ewing toward the end of his career and asked him about, you know, a Giannis or a Wimby or something like that, they'd be like, well, you know, we got to wait and see. But they wouldn't, like, I really felt like Diana Taurasi and her crew really shit on Caitlin. And I didn't appreciate that.
And here's the thing. Once again, as a man, I'm going to back you up a little bit because I'm like, look, you're not criticizing her career. You're not criticizing her as an athlete. You're not criticizing the things that she did because Diana Taurasi was freaking awesome whenever she did her thing. You're criticizing her as an analyst. And I think that's valid. That's absolutely valid. Mm. Because just because you played that sport, it does not mean that you're always
right
about your
analysis. I got mad love and respect for Diana Taurasi.
Yes.
She really was one of the players that made me pay attention back to the women's game back in the day.
Right.
I mean, obviously, we got Cheryl Miller, greatest women's basketball player of all time.
Lisa
We're
Leslie.
Not even having that conversation. But, I have grown up around some great women basketball players, and I think Diana Taurasi is tops. I really just think the world of her as
Absolutely.
A player.
Absolutely.
I think her analyst criticisms were just
off.
Unmerited.
I just
think it was poor, and it sounded personal.
And you're not doing it. You're not saying that her whole career as an analyst is that. It's just that statement that she made and the things that she said about Caitlin Clark. That's you put yourself in the public eye.
Yeah.
You absolutely should expect some criticism to come back, no matter who you are.
Yeah,
so
absolutely.
I'm with you, man. I'm with you. Second yellow card. What do you got for us, bro?
Student protesters on college campuses getting way, way out of control, and also the response to those student protesters being unfairly attacked when they haven't been getting out of control.
Yeah.
Look,
we have
a long history in this country of protest, peaceful protest, and especially collegiate peaceful protest.
Yes.
I think our generation can think back to what we heard about what was going on during Vietnam. And I history will have to judge what is happening right now in Palestine and Gaza and all that.
Yes.
But what I know is if you're absolutely objective, you look at this and you say there's a lot of people wrong here and a lot of innocent people being taken advantage of.
Right.
Every Jewish person is not a Zionist or an Israeli.
Nope.
And every Palestinian is not a member of Hamas.
Exactly.
There are innocents being slaughtered halfway around the world, and it's to their credit that these kids see this and want to speak up for it. But all too quickly, so many of these conversations have gone from we're pro-Palestinians and they deserve a homeland of their own to very anti-Jewish sentiment.
Yes.
Now,
yes.
And let me be fair. Just saying that what Israel is doing in this situation doesn't make you an anti-Semite. If you can't understand the nuance of this conversation, either get with me and I will happily sit down with
Absolutely.
You and we can talk through these individual points. Or if you just want to be obtuse about it, then we can't have that conversation because multiple things can be true. It can be true that Palestinians in Gaza deserve a homeland and deserve to not be bombed.
Yes.
And also that Israel has a right to protect itself when attacked by a terrorist organization.
Absolutely.
This is not a simple geopolitical discussion. There's a lot of nuance. There's a lot of history. Mm-hmm. And there's a lot going into it. And I am frankly going to say I don't have a deep enough well of knowledge to give too many opinions on it. But I know that, again, multiple things can be true, and that is innocents are being slaughtered on both sides, and there's blame to go around on both sides. And that's not both sidesism. That's the reality of this particular situation.
Right.
And you can be critical of the United States government because we do blindly support Israel in a lot of ways.
Yes, we do.
And still love this country.
Yes.
Does not mean this is not a binary decision. And people who can't get beyond that in politics are why we are where we are right now in this
Absolutely.
Country.
Absolutely. Number one, I mean, that's amazing. Dude. Red card time. Who gets the red card this week, my friend? Or what gets the red card this week?
Don't know.
Oh.
Don't know.
Oh. Oh.
Don't know.
Okay.
Do you want to discuss what's going on in the world right now?
I mean, we can.
What do you think is a dark cloud hanging over us
a
right now?
A dark cloud hanging over us.
Because that's what deserves a red card.
Yeah, I think what... May I?
You may.
I think what deserves a red card is the fact that we have two realities in this country.
We had
a guy 3 days ago set himself on fire.
Yeah. And we still... Do we know why? I know why the military guy set himself on fire, because he was upset about America supporting Israeli actions.
Right, no.
What was this about outside of the Trump Manhattan courtroom?
Exactly. What we're hearing, and this is what's disturbing about it. This is why I give a red card, not to the guy who set himself on fire, but the coverage that we have to the guy setting himself on fire. We still don't know. Like, we can speculate. We can say, oh, this guy's in solidarity with Trump, and he's crazy.
Who knows?
Or this guy, you know, is in, you know, he's like, hey, if Trump gets free, then everything's going to hell. And so I'm just...
No idea. I don't know any new.
Media, get your shit together.
Yeah, absolutely.
Get your shit together. Because here's the deal. There was one time in this country where we had media that actually reported news.
His name was Walter Cronkite.
Okay. And I'm not trying to steal from, you know, the newsroom and Jeff Daniels or anything like that, but if you have not seen that clip from the newsroom with Jeff Daniels, please watch it, because it is 100% accurate. There was a point in this country where we got the news and we got it objectively. We were able to create our own thoughts about this, but we have become so numb. I didn't say dumb. So numb.
Well, and
we're willing to accept.
It's a multifaceted issue. We're talking about a news media that's turned into cable news media and now has to manufacture information for 24 hours a day. So they have to inflate even more so. It's always been if it bleeds, it leads. And even more so in this 24-hour coverage. But we are sorely lacking in people who want to truly be professional journalism. And here's what I mean by that. If I have two people onto this show, and one says, it's sunny and 85 degrees outside, not a cloud in the sky. You're like, oh. And then the next person says, are you kidding me? It's raining cats and dogs. It's almost hurricane conditions. My job as a journalist, your job as a journalist, isn't to go, wasn't that nice. Your job is to open the fucking window and report back to what is actually going on in the world. That's objectivity.
Yep.
That's not your opinion. You looked out the window, and it's either raining or it's not. It's sunny or it's not.
Simple as that, folks.
It's simple as that, folks. So...
Jeez.
Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you for
chiming in. That's why the professor is here dressed in his finest duds.
No, that's not why I'm here addressing this. It's just because I'm like, work just crushed me today. So anyway, ladies and gentlemen, we are at the end of our show. The best part of the show is coming up. Aaron's final thoughts. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you so much for joining us. Once again, Chatham Chat Fishers will be open at 7:30 a.m. Boy, that's scrolling really slow. 7:30 on Saturday, and I imagine that there might be some brekkie or no brekkie.
No brekkie.
No brekkie. Oh, there. Okay.
I can make it go faster.
No. You're good. You're good. You're good.
I don't know how to do it on the fly right now.
Brecky.
Sorry.
But no breakfast on Saturday. Please come and support your best, support your favorite team. This is a great place to watch matches. I mean, it just is. The atmosphere here continues to grow each and every week. Unless you're an Arsenal fan. Anyway, I said I wasn't going to say anything about that.
I have no idea what he's talking about.
Okay, ladies and gentlemen. So now we are at... our Hey Aaron segment of the match.
Those people are so sad.
Our Hey Aaron segment of the podcast. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you so much for joining us. And this is the part... Oh, wow, they're still cheering. Thank you for joining us. This is the part where Aaron sends us off with some words of wisdom. My man, what do you got for us this week?
I tell you what, we touched on it earlier, but I want to revisit it and make a larger point, and that is I just saw the best of humanity this weekend. I saw so many people come together for a good cause, for a good friend, and had a good time doing it, raised lots of money, and honored either people that they know that have passed away from this terrible disease or are currently battling like warriors, as so many of us do. Like I said, I would love for this to never happen again, because that means we had eventually eradicated this god-awful disease. But until it is gone, I know that this group of people is going to be looking after one another. And in this one small spot of the world, this Fishers, Indiana, and surrounding folks banded together for a friend of theirs, somebody that brings joy to all of us, that is such a unique and wonderful person, that Evan spoke so eloquently about what she means and what this group of people means, and I'm not doing it complete justice. I'm just standing in awe that so many people came together to say this is a singular thing that's important to us, and while it exists in the world, we stand ready and willing to stand side by side, if not in front of, my friends and allies, in much the same way that we talk about all these other things, gender issues, quality issues. If you think DEI is a problem, you need to reach out to me. We'll have that discussion as well, because it isn't, okay? I don't think a big boat ran into a bridge in Baltimore because we have DEI programs, okay? I'm just saying, there's so much love in this world, and all you've got to do is open yourself up to it and reach out to it, and it will reach back to you. And that is what we're trying to do in our own little way here with this podcast, with soccer, and occasionally touching on some topics that I know makes people uncomfortable. But if you're squirming, it means we needed to have the convo. So, folks, I love you. I appreciate you. We're going to put this out, and we're going to keep doing it for as long as we can.
This is why he's my best friend, ladies and gentlemen. So here we go, guys. Thank you so much for joining us tonight. This is Evan. This is Aaron.
Open at 7:30 on Saturday, but no food, no kitchen. But the game will be on. Dave will be here for you, looking after you. And then you can get the rest of the times on this super slow scroll. But 10 o'clock on Saturday, and then believe 8:30 on Sunday with breakfast.
Oh, okay.
Get you some breakfast. Get you the Fat Franks, baby.
And the staff love kolaches and donuts.
They do love kolaches and love it. So if you are here for that Liverpool game, maybe grab some Krispy Kreme, some originals, and do it upright. So, folks, till next time, love you. Hashtag say gay.
Hashtag black people vote, ladies and gentlemen.
Damn skip.
Peace.